evening, and welcome to Lehigh Valley Art Salon on WDIY Community Public Radio. I'm Sheila White, your host this evening. Tonight, we will be talking about El Sistema Lehigh Valley with our guests, director Stephen Liu, and student orchestra members Kiana and Brianna Gonzalez. So we'll start off our conversation with the director, hair director Stephen Liu. Please tell our listeners about El Sistema Lehigh Valley.
Well, El Sistema Lehigh Valley is inspired by a program from Venezuela that has been working with children for the last 38, almost 39 years, providing access to instruments every day after school for free, with expectations that it can transform the communities and actually transform what poverty in their country looks like. It has been tremendously successful and has produced musicians like Gustavo Dudamel, who is the youngest conductor to ever be hired by a major philharmonic at the age of 28 with no conservatory training, and also Erickson Ruiz, who was 17 years old, hired by the Berlin Phil, first Latin American to ever be hired by a European orchestra, and second youngest musician to ever be hired by the Berlin Phil at age of 17. And it really piqued people's interest about what El Sistema is, because both of these two young men came from Venezuela and had no conservatory training. And as it turns out, they are engaging with over 500,000 children a year, have produced into the millions of alumni in their program, and are spending over $80 million a year to give this opportunity to their children, because they have made a firm commitment and belief that this will transform the communities and improve them simply by giving them access to music. And in light of that, El Sistema Lehigh Valley has a similar inspiration, where we are facing many similar problems regarding economics and availability of jobs, and we want to provide these kids an opportunity to be engaged with music independent of economic boundaries, physical boundaries, or otherwise, because we know as musicians and people who appreciate music that it can help develop the hard skills that we need to get real jobs after we become adults. Therefore, we've started with some young children here in the program that have been ranging from about 6 to 10. Right now, our children go anywhere between primarily 6 and 12, with a few outliers that are a little bit older. And we are operating at Roosevelt Community Elementary School every day, Monday through Friday, 3:30 to 5:30, where we are engaging with about 80 different kids to provide them with access to instruments, classes, choir, and general music theory to help them develop skills that they're interested in, which will correlationally affect the other indicators of success, like their academic performance, attendance, overall engagement, and social behavior inside of their classrooms.
So it sounds like the program isn't necessarily focused only on training the next musician. What's the bigger outcome that we're looking for here?
Well, José Antonio Abreu, the economist and musician who founded El Sistema in Venezuela, really says that the impact could be felt in three different areas: in each individual child's life, inside of the family, and inside the community on the whole. And naturally, we're interested in all of those things, so we are looking at the individual child and their academic performance inside of the schools. We're looking at how the families are interacting with themselves and how the families are interacting with one another, and we've had some really positive results, including the two guests that we have here, among many other stories of successful interactions between families and developing communities and just helping to generate a healthy community.
That's lovely. But Stephen, you received specialized training at the New England Conservatory as one of 10 Abreu Fellows. Is that how it's pronounced?
It's Abreu.
Abreu. Oh, thank you.
It would be Abreu if it was in French.
Yes, that's true. Okay. Well, anyway, it's a special program that provides in-depth understanding of the philosophy of El Sistema. We talked about some of the outcomes. How does the outcome come from philosophy? Can you tell us more about that?
Well, the question is this. If we are investing a significant amount of money into a program, the question is, what is that money doing? And the question will always be, how are we going to measure how effective we are at doing what we are saying we're doing? And if we're talking about the production of citizens, production of a healthier community, the question is, what are the indicators of that? And while the anecdotal stories of individuals are heartwarming and phenomenal, the reality of the situation is the numbers are where people are very interested for the actual money to come in. So inside of the first year of the programming, we actually saw a tremendous result where kids who were participating in El Sistema Lehigh Valley performed about 25% higher on their PSSAs for reading and about 30% higher for their score PSSAs in math than the rest of the population at their school. which is based on third to fifth graders at Roosevelt only. So we do have some kids that are outside of those boundaries, but it's a significant indicator suggesting that something is happening with the kids that are in our program. And one other thing to bear in mind is that they actually looked at, for this past year, how successful kids are if they're just engaged in any program. And there was a tremendous result that if kids are involved with after-school programming beyond 50 hours a year, they were performing significantly higher on their PSSAs. We are in the middle of compiling our results for the second year, but after the first year with results like that, it's highlighting the indicator that these children are more likely to finish school, to be attending school, and to be graduating, which ultimately will return dollars back into the community because you have an educated workforce.
It's excellent. And within 2 years, to see those types of results already on our state testing and the heightened level of student engagement, it's just a wonderful outcome already seen in 2 years only.
It's tremendous to see the results inside of 2 years, but the most important thing to remember is that transformation doesn't happen over 1 or 2 years. Transformation is something that takes a long time. And if we're talking about the productions of citizens and we're working with children that are as young as 6, that means we're talking about a 12-year engagement before we're able to see whether or not this has really infected their ability to get jobs afterwards. And there's a significant amount of research of just simple high school graduation rates. For example, there was research on New Orleans. If they could increase their graduation rates by about 10% to into the mid-70s, they would expect an annual increase of domestic gross by about $125 million was the estimate. And they said that the 30% more people would be enrolled in college. They would predict something somewhere around 2,500 homeowners simply by increasing the number of kids that are graduating from high school.
And that's just such a sign of hope. So, Stephen, I don't want to ignore the other two lovely guests that we have in the studio with us. I understand we have Kiana and Brianna Gonzalez.
Yes.
So, Kiana, let's start with you. What instrument do you play?
I play the contrabass.
Otherwise known as?
The double bass.
So it's the sticker, the standard upper one?
Yeah, yes. The really big one.
The really big one. And do you play a full-size bass?
Yes, I play a full-size bass. I do believe so, yeah.
Yes.
I haven't checked the size.
How long have you been playing?
I've been playing for a full year.
And you could reach all the way to the scroll when you first started playing?
Yes, I
can. Yeah. Did you have to stand on a stool?
No. I was tall enough to reach everything on the bass.
Excellent. And how's your hand span? Do you have a pretty good strength there?
Yeah, I've been working on the strength of my fingers, and over time they've been getting stronger. So I'm pretty sure they're going to get better as time goes on.
Excellent. And Brianna, what instrument do you play?
The violin.
The violin. Do you play a full-size instrument as well?
Yes.
Oh my goodness, we've got some large women here in the studio. How long have you been playing violin, dear?
2 years.
My goodness, do you shift into new positions, or are you in first position only, or are you getting all over the fingerboard?
Only first position.
Oh, but that's good, because then you're going to really get solid on those notes, and your intonation is right in place. How's your bow hold?
Really good.
Right, and so your teacher, is it telling you to check that every time you play?
No, not really.
Because where does the sound come from the instrument?
Comes from the bow.
The bow hold, exactly. Now I don't know anything about playing a string instrument. So, ladies, Kiana, let's start with you. What's your favorite part about playing in El Sistema Lehigh Valley?
My favorite part? I guess it's the opportunities that I get. Like, I have a lot more community opportunities. Like before, when I wasn't in El Sistema, I was not really going out very often. But then afterwards, I used to go to concerts a lot. I go to fundraisers, other fun community events. I just generally like going out a lot, and the instrument has provided me a lot of opportunities for that.
Oh, really? Can you tell us one of the concerts you may have seen or heard?
I've been to the Allentown Symphony Hall. I've not only played there, but I've also seen some of the performances. They're really incredible. I love them all. So just being able to hear, like, just the full blast of the music, not just on a radio, but, like, in live person, is just awe-inspiring. I love it.
So what's it like playing on the same stage as the Allentown Symphony?
To play on a stage, it's like amazing, because it's nerve-wracking and you have this adrenaline and this thrill, and when you play that piece, it's just, I don't know how to describe it. It's too amazing.
And that's probably why we have music to take place when words don't do enough.
Yeah.
Yes. Brianna, what's your favorite part about being involved with El Sistema Lehigh Valley?
Well, I guess it's getting to play my instrument and going around places to play, like in concerts.
Where are some of your favorite places to play?
My favorite one was the Philadelphia concert.
Really? Where in Philadelphia? Do you remember?
No.
A little help from Dr. Lou wouldn't hurt, right?
Just Mr.
Mr.
we did a regional seminario, where about 7 or 8 different El Sistema-inspired programs from the North Atlantic and Mid-Atlantic came together in Philadelphia last year to do a performance with around 500 children. And then this past year, we had a similar seminario happen in Newport News, and we're exploring the possibility of holding that seminario here in Allentown in the future.
Brianna, what's it like sharing the stage with 499 other musicians?
Well, it feels like you need more space.
Did it feel different than just playing in your own group?
Yeah, because you see new people. Mm-hmm. And you have new partners to play with.
Mm-hmm. Kiana, tell us, what kind of music do you play in this program?
We play a lot of different genres and different types of music. We just finished playing a very jazzy piece by Jay Brown. I Feel Good, I Got a Feeling, something like that.
I Got You.
Okay. That one so far is like my favorite one.
Well, was there a bunch of slap basses on that one? Good bass line to it?
It was like all good bass line. It was like, I loved it. We played classical pieces. We played some folk. We actually did a piece where we intertwined 3 pieces that we've done into one, and it sounded really good because it harmonized well. So we don't really stick to just one piece, like just classical. We go out and try different, genres.
Brianna, what's the favorite piece that you've played so far in your, how long, a year and a half you've been playing?
Two years.
2 years. So in 2 years, what's the favorite piece that you've played so far?
Well, I guess it might be Ode to Joy or Ode to Happy Cabbage.
Ode to a Happy Cabbage. Okay.
Just to clarify, Ode to Happy Cabbage, that's a song that I arranged for the kids that combines Ode to Joy, a tune called Boil 'em Cabbage Down, and the Happy Blues.
Well, there's something about mixing Celtic and classic and the blues. I mean, it just sounds like a right kind of a mix of stew. Lovely. Well, this is the Lehigh Valley Arts Salon on WDIY Community Public Radio. I'm Sheila White, your host this evening, talking to director, Mr. Maestro, Stephen Liu, and Kiana and Brianna Gonzalez. We're talking about the El Sistema Lehigh Valley. After a short break for some very important messages, we'll be back to learn more about this wonderful program for our community's youth.
WDIY is proud to partner with ArtsQuest, presenting Music Fest 2013, August 2nd through the 11th, with more than 500 performances on 15 stages, including Frampton's Guitar Circus with Peter Frampton, Sonny Landreth and B.B. King Monday, August 5th, Southside Johnny and the Asbury Jukes opening for George Thorogood and the Destroyers Tuesday, August 6th, and the Family Stone opening for KC and the Sunshine Band Thursday, August 8th. For information, 610-332-3378 or musicfest.org.
And welcome back to the Lehigh Valley Art Salon. I'm still your host, Sheila White, talking with El Sistema director Stephen Liu and Kiana and Brianna Gonzalez. Stephen, the El Sistema Lehigh Valley has been going very well it's only 2 years so far. What are the greatest successes from your stance in the podium and behind the scenes in administrative world?
Well, we've had tremendous success when it comes to looking at the indicators of early success, like I mentioned beforehand. We've also anecdotally been just seeing phenomenal results in children building relationships with one another and assuming an identity of somebody who's important and valuable. Mother Teresa of Calcutta says that the most horrific thing about poverty is not the lack of food or shelter, but the lack of an identity, the identity of being nobody. And Jose Antonio Abreu's response to this is, from the instant a child holds an instrument in their hands, they automatically assume an identity of someone who is integrally important of their community. And the same thing goes for choir. So assuming that identity as somebody who knows something has been incredibly powerful, and see the children rise to the occasion and assume the identity as somebody who is empowered by the knowledge and the access to something that is special has been incredibly tremendous. And you can see it in their expressions when it comes to concert days. They're bouncing off the walls because they are ready for the concert to happen. But we've also seen tremendous interactions between the parents where families are coming together. I believe the Gonzalez family are now very good friends with some other families from the program that otherwise they would not have been if there was not a program like this. We see parents helping each other out. A great example of all of this is just yesterday we had a picnic concert in Roosevelt Park across the street from Roosevelt. I did not plan anything beyond saying we would like to have a barbecue on that weekend. The parents took care of all of the food. They brought the grill. They helped us bring all of the stuff. Our teachers helped prepare the music for it. And we did a concert inside of the park where I would estimate that at least 150 people were there. And that was a rain date, which is phenomenal. So we're getting a lot of indicators that we are building a very healthy community that is supportive of one another and uses the community of the orchestra and choir as a model for their personal communities. And what makes the community of the orchestra and the choir incredibly unique, not in my words, but in Abreu's words, is that it is one of the very few communities that come together with the exclusive purpose of being in harmony with itself. And for that to be a model for these kids to have in their personal lives, their families, and their community is tremendous. And so seeing that take life in our community at Roosevelt Elementary School has been incredibly phenomenal, and it's also been aligning very well with the school because it is a community school. And in fact, Roosevelt Community Elementary School was one of three schools recognized nationally by the Coalition for Community Schools for its outstanding after-school programming and making the school a center for the community. And very naturally, El Sistema has been aligning very well with it, and we are incredibly grateful for our ongoing partnership with them. And we are also incredibly grateful for the support of other organizations that have helped us provide a unique experience to these kids. For example, Youth Education in the Arts this past summer provided us with percussion access. So they sent Marine Mo Durant over to our program to give these kids access to drums, where they were playing various songs like Guantanamera, I Feel Good with percussion, and other songs like that. So we've had a lot of really great successes within the last year. In fact, YEA helped us pilot a program for deaf and hard of hearing children last summer, where we worked with deaf and hard of hearing kids for a week, and we had a concert at the end of that week.
Well, this sounds so incredible, the kind of community building, a number of organizations and resources available to these kids and their families. I know the Allentown Symphony has been the spark for the whole program, starting it in the Miller Symphony Hall, and also the community school is an incredible network of coming together of so many moving parts, but there are still challenges to a whole operation like that, and you know, bringing in resources, it takes resources to bring in resources. Steve, tell us some of those challenges.
Well, you're nailing it on the head. Each child that's enrolled in El Sistema Lehigh Valley has access to over 350 hours of programming a year for free. And that means we need the resources to be able to pay our administrators, we have to be able to pay our teachers, we have to repair the instruments and so forth. So we're constantly looking for additional support to continue this program and the amazing results that we've had. We've been very fortunate this past year to be recognized nationally by the Getty Foundation, which has a grant that we were able to win that was proctored through the League of American Orchestras. And we've just been so thankful for their support because we actually won over $37,000 in that grant submission. And we are hoping to reapply for it. And we are hoping that we're going to be able to increase or hold this support steady. But we also have multiple foundations that have been ready to make multiple year pledges to us. So we're always looking for additional instruments, additional funding. And there are so many people that have the potential. It's just a question of finding the people who believe in what we're doing and can help us with that.
So how can people find out more about how they can help El Sistema Lehigh Valley?
You can always go to our page off the Allentown Symphony website, which is under education. But we also have more frequently updated photos and events on our Facebook page, which is El Sistema Lehigh Valley.
Wonderful. As you've just heard, El Sistema Lehigh Valley is an incredible program for our community youth, especially the students at Roosevelt Elementary in Allentown. I'm so pleased that this program's there for you and that you're getting so much out of it. I want to thank our guests, Stephen Liu and Kiana and Brianna Gonzalez, and thank Mom for bringing them to the studio, for getting them to be on the show. And also a tip of the hat to our generous and handsome engineer, Steve Aronson. You have been listening to the Lehigh Valley Art Salon on WDIY.
Thank you for having us.
I'm Maria Filosa from WDIY, and you're listening to Tasty Seasonal Recipes for the Everyday Chef. If there was one fruit to choose that represented summer, without a doubt that fruit would be watermelon. Sweet, refreshing, juicy, and good for you too. Watermelon is actually classified as a pepo, which is a berry with a hard rind and a fleshy center. Although the rinds are mostly various shades of solid and striped green, the flesh can range from white to yellow to orange to deep red. Some have dark brown seeds, while others, known as seedless, actually contain immature, soft, white seed shells that most people eat. With over 90% of the fruit containing water, I like to dive right into a thirst-quenching slice until my face is covered in the stuff. I even eat most of the seeds. Did you know that they are good for you? In fact, nutritionally, watermelon as a whole is one of those superfoods. One cup only contains about 45 calories. It is rich in antioxidants and is also an anti-inflammatory food. It contains vitamins A and C, two compounds, lycopene and citrulline, found in the rich red fleshy centers, are important for cardiovascular health. Even the seeds contain small amounts of the minerals iron and zinc, and a bit of protein as well. Some cultures roast and season the seeds to enjoy as a snack. As an ingredient, watermelon can be quite versatile. You can add watermelon chunks to almost any salad. Of course, any fruit smoothie could benefit with the addition of a little watermelon. And let's not forget the adult beverages like margaritas, martinis, and daiquiris, enhanced with watermelon puree. They taste amazing. Watermelon works as an ingredient for baking as well. While making a loaf of bread, I discovered that I could replace all the water in my dough recipe with an equal amount of pureed watermelon. The resulting bread has a slightly pink color and a moist texture. To make this bread, pour 1 1/4 cups of pureed watermelon into a mixer or sturdy blender. Add 1 tablespoon of sugar, 1 teaspoon of salt, 1 tablespoon of yeast, and 4 cups of flour. Blend until the mixture forms a ball. You may need to add more flour if the dough is too sticky. Remove it from the mixer and place onto a flour-covered table. Knead the dough until smooth and silky in texture. Let it rest about 30 minutes, then divide it in half, placing 1 piece aside. Roll out the remaining dough into a rectangle shape. Melt 1/2 stick of butter and brush it onto the dough surface. Pour 1/2 cup of brown sugar and 1/2 cup of shredded unsweetened coconut over the buttered dough. Roll jelly roll style into a log. Place the seam side down onto a cookie sheet and brush the top with more butter, then sprinkle more brown sugar and coconut on top. You could also add some chopped nuts if desired. Repeat with the other piece of dough. Let them rise 1 hour, then bake in a 450-degree oven for 20 minutes. Let the bread cool before slicing, if you can resist. If you find yourself with an abundance of watermelon, why not make it into a jelly and can it? Take about 2 pounds of the red flesh, along with as much of the white part of the rind as you can scrape off. Dice everything and place it into a saucepan. Add about 3 cups of sugar and, if desired, some lemons cut into thin slices. Bring to a boil and simmer for about 2 hours. This will reduce into a syrupy texture. Sterilize 3 to 4 pint-sized mason jars and fill with the watermelon mixture. Wipe the rims with a wet cloth, then seal with canning lids and rings. Place into a water bath, covering the jars with boiling water. Process for 15 minutes, then remove the jars to cool. This would be a tasty dipping sauce for homemade spring rolls or for spreading on a cake as a glaze. So don't miss out. Get to your grocery store and pick up one of those green beauties. You won't be sorry. I'm Maria Filosa. Thanks for listening to Tasty Seasonal Recipes for the Everyday Chef. Have a bountiful day.
Next up on Lehigh Valley Art Salon, At the Movies, a review of a current film with Paul Willistine of the Press.
Summer and blockbusters go hand in popcorn at the movies. During the summer and Thanksgiving through Christmas and New Year's holiday season, there's counter-programming where an indie, an independently released or non-Hollywood film, opens to critical and commercial success. Examples include last summer's The Best Exotic Marigold Hotel and Moonrise Kingdom. During summer 2011, there was Woody Allen's Midnight in Paris. This summer, Woody Allen's Blue Jasmine opens with Cate Blanchett already being mentioned as a possible Oscar actress nominee. This time, Allen travels to San Francisco for a drama that also stars Alec Baldwin, Peter Sarsgaard, Sally Hawkins, Louis C.K., and Andrew Dice Clay. Also, look for The Way Back, a coming-of-age comedy drama where Steve Carell, Toni Collette, and Allison Janney play the adults. The film was popular at this year's Sundance Film Festival. Fruitvale Station is a biopic based on a true account about the death of Oscar Grant, a young San Francisco African-American. The story is said to have some parallels with the Trayvon Martin George Zimmerman case. The film stars Michael B. Jordan, Melanie Diaz, and Octavia Spencer. With the summer movie season heading into the fourth quarter, here are some indie films you may have missed. Much Ado About Nothing was a backyard romp set in the Los Angeles area home of director Joss Whedon. He directed The Avengers. It stars a cast of solid, if not famous, actors. The Shakespearean language is spoken in a contemporary setting. The film, lensed in black and white, has its moments, especially for fans of the Bard. The Bling Ring is a guilty pleasure. It takes us to the actual Hollywood home of Paris Hilton, whose residence and those of other celebrities was the target of a group of teens who burglarized the homes and made off with some $3 million in clothing, shoes, and, of course, bling. Sofia Coppola, who directed Lost in Translation, directs an all-grown-up Emma Watson of the Harry Potter films and her posse in The Cautionary Tale. Stories We Tell is about actor-director Sarah Polley, who lets the genealogy out of the bag with mixed results for herself, her family, and the moviegoer. A documentary that you should not miss is 20 Feet from Stardom. Director Morgan Neville reveals the little-known world of backup vocalists, hence the film's title, in that the backup vocalists stand about 20 feet in back of the stars at the main microphone. Darlene Love, of producer Phil Spector's 1960s teen pop hits fame, Mary Clayton, of the Rolling Stones' Gimme Shelter song, and Judith Hill, who was to be on Michael Jackson's This Is It tour, are featured, as are interviews with Bruce Springsteen, Sting, Sheryl Crow, Stevie Wonder, and Mick Jagger. Also, there are some great performances. 20 Feet from Stardom is MPAA rated PG-13. Opening August 8 is Elysium. Director Neil Blomkamp, who directed District 9, directs Matt Damon and Jodie Foster in a sci-fi thriller set in the year 2154, when the elite live on a space station called Elysium above the mayhem on Earth below. Percy Jackson, Sea of Monsters, the second in the fantasy trilogy based on Rick Riordan's novels, finds the son of Poseidon on a quest for the mythical Golden Fleece. Logan Lerman and Alexandra Daddario star. Planes. It's Cars with Wings in the Disney Pixar animated family comedy with character voices by Val Kilmer, Julie Louise Dreyfus, John Cleese, Priyanka Chopra, Larry the Cable Guy, Cedric the Entertainer, Sinbad, Gabriela Iglesias, Terry Hatcher, Dane Cook, Anthony Edwards, and Stacey Keach. Yes, there are a lot of planes in this race, but who's complaining? We're the Millers. A marijuana drug dealer creates a fake family to bring a big shipment from Mexico to the United States. This screenplay was obviously written before the government-approved stepped-up border security. Jennifer Aniston, Emma Roberts, Jason Sudeikis, and Ed Helms star in the comedy. I'm Paul Willistein of the Lehigh Valley Press at the movies for WDIY.